Part 10. Sorry for the two-week delay in coming back and resuming the teaching of Prophetic School. Thanks to all of those who have been tuning me in for the last 9 weeks, and of course all of our first-time viewers. I trust that you'll get blessed and you'll be taught and get understanding and revelation concerning prophetic ministry from this about a one-hour time of sharing and teaching. Before I start, I do want to recommend that anyone who's watching us for the first time that you go back and view the first nine programs, and those can be viewed at johneckhartministries.com or crusaderschurch.org, free of charge. You can go and review all of them. Even if you don't watch them in order, all of them really stand on their own, but I would recommend that you begin at part number one, because that was the foundation of the teaching on the prophetic, to number one, desire to prophesy. Your desire to prophesy is one of the first ways you will begin to see an increase in the prophetic level in your life, and begin to see an increase in prophetic activity in your life. And then we do a lot of teaching on the purpose of prophecy, prophetic protocol, the ministry of the prophet, and we'll just keep going until I run out, which can be a long time. But this is part 10. And also, I'm recommending that everyone get a copy of my book called God Still Speaks. This particular book is a book that I've written on the subject of the prophetic. It talks about the prophetic ministry individually, talks about corporate prophecy. It talks about the prophetic ministry, how it operates in the church. The ministry of prophets has prophetic exercises, and many of you have written and received a copy of this book, God Still Speaks, and you can simply go to my website, johneckhartministries.com, and order the book. We'll rush it to you as soon as we get your request in the mail. I know that you'll be blessed. So many people are saying that they've been blessed not only by the audio teachings, but also by having a chance to get a copy of the book and read the book and study at their own pace. And there's so much more in the book that we cannot cover in 1 hour teaching by way of video. So again, that's my book on the prophetic, God Still Speaks, and order it through johneckhartministries.com, and we'll rush it to you as soon as we get your request in the mail. Tonight's lesson is entitled, Despise Not Prophesying. That's one of the shortest verses in the Bible, Despise Not Prophesying. We know the shortest verse is Jesus wept, but this verse is one of the shortest. Another verse says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good in connection. Quench not the spirit is connected to this verse. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and let me read it. I'm sorry, chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. It begins by saying, quench not the spirit. That's verse 19. And then verse 20 says, despise not prophesying. So there's really a connection between quenching the spirit and despising prophecy. And we're going to share with you why some assemblies and some individuals do not operate in a high level of the prophetic, because it's not just based on whether or not God wants you to prophesy or whether you can prophesy. It depends on your desire, as 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, desire to prophesy. It also says covet to prophesy. Of all the gifts you should desire to prophesy, because that is the gift that brings the most benefit to the assembly. He that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. It builds the church, it exhorts the church, it comforts the church, and so we should have a desire to prophesy and even covet to prophesy. And then this verse says, despise not prophesying. Now, I believe the reason why Paul wrote that injunction to the Thessalonian church was because evidently there were some in the assembly that were either quenching the spirit or despising prophecy. And so Paul encourages them, don't quench the spirit. One translation says, quench not the manifestation of the spirit. We'll talk about what that means. And then he says, despise not prophesying. We'll give the reason why some people do despise this gift. And if you despise it, if you think lightly of it, you will not operate in it on a high level. Some churches do not honor, respect, teach on, covet, or desire to prophesy. And as a result, you don't have a very high level of the prophetic. other churches desire, covet. They honor the gift. They teach on it. They respect it. And as a result, their prophetic level is much higher than those who do not honor this particular manifestation of the Spirit of God. If you don't respect and honor the things of the Spirit, then they won't operate on a high level in your life. One of the things I've learned about the anointing years ago was that Jesus could do no mighty work in his own hometown because of the fact that they did not honor his gift and his anointing. And so it's important to place honor on giftings and honor and respect and think highly and esteem these gifts high if we're to really benefit from them. So much of the prophetic depends on your attitude, your attitude toward the gift, toward the manifestation of the gift. And if we have the wrong attitude toward the gifts of the Spirit, then we won't really see them operate in a very high level in our lives. Let's begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 19, quench not the Spirit. And let's define the word quench, because that is a word in the Greek that simply means to put out or extinguish. It means to put out the light or fire of, to quench suddenly by pouring water on it, to cause to lose heat or warmth. So the implication is that when something is on fire, that when you put water on it, you quench it. Other translations actually say, quench not the fire of the Spirit. One of the things we cannot do in our assemblies is quench the fire of the Holy Spirit. Cool it off, bring it down. We must maintain a high level of intensity when it comes to the Spirit of God. That it's also amazing that even though God is God and the Holy Spirit is God, you can actually quench his manifestation and his operation by what you do or what you don't do. So we do have a part to play in how the Spirit of God functions in our assemblies or functions in our lives. It means to bring something to an end, typically by satisfying, damping, cooling, or decreasing. Again, this is the definition of the word quench. It means to terminate by or as if by destroying, to eliminate, to relieve or satisfy with liquid, to become extinguished. It means to cool. It means to become calm. It means to subside. Now, there's a reason why sometimes the level of the prophetic is not strong or high in some assemblies or some churches. It's not that they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They may even teach on the Holy Spirit. I mean, most churches believe in the Holy Spirit as a part of their doctrinal statement, because there really is no church without the operation of the Holy Spirit. And there's really no being born again without the Spirit of God, or even living a Christian life without the Spirit of God. So that in our theology, in every denomination, every group of churches, Pentecostal, non-Pentecostal, charismatic, non-charismatic, there's a belief, at least on paper, of the Holy Spirit. But the question is, do you allow the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the assembly? And in this context, do you allow prophetic utterances? One translation says, do not stifle prophetic utterances. Do not quench the manifestation of the Spirit. And so often, there's a reason why some assemblies, not all, but some assemblies do not have a high level of the prophetic. No personal prophecy, no corporate prophecy, no prophetic singing, no prophetic worship. It's not because God does not desire to manifest in that way. It's simply because often leadership does not allow it to happen. Leadership quenches it. People draw back from it. And there can be some reason. Let me give you five reasons why often prophecy is not encouraged and quenched. It's not encouraged, but rather it is quenched in local assemblies. Number one, control by leadership. Sometimes our order of service is the most important thing. We have a particular order of service. We have so many songs, so much time, and we have to go through an order of service, and we don't want any interruptions. And so the Spirit of God, one of the things about prophecy is that prophecy is such a spontaneous gift until there's really no controlling it in the sense of you're determining what God says or how he says it. Now, it must be in line with Scripture. It should bring edification, exhortation, comfort. We do have guidelines, but one of the things that leaders often fear when it comes to prophecy is that if they don't know what's going to be said, they can't control it. And so they feel we're taking a chance if we let someone prophesy. Now, it's important that you let proven people prophesy in the church. And really, the danger of people abusing the gift or misrepresenting the Spirit of God is dramatically decreased when you train people properly and you have good people, solid people, people of character, people of anointing that release the word of the Lord. In our church in Chicago, we have prophecy every service. When the Spirit of God comes, when the Spirit of prophecy comes, we worship. We always have someone to release the word of the Lord. We definitely do not want to quench the Spirit of God. No, that doesn't mean that you have to do everything the way we do it. We know different churches have different ways of releasing the prophetic. So we're not trying to say there's a certain way you do it, but you're definitely told in Scripture not to quench the Spirit of God. Quench not the Spirit of God. So sometimes leadership controls the service, and if they feel that they allow someone to get up and prophesy, they lose control. They don't know. They can't control what will be said. Sometimes church will attempt to do it this way. Let's say if you have a word, write it down, bring it to the leadership, and we'll review it first, and then maybe we'll release it. Well, I understand that principle, and I've had people write down prophecies and give them to me. I'm not saying that's sin or wrong, but sometimes when the Spirit of God moves, remember the word prophecy means it's really inspired utterance. It means to bubble up. It means to fall upon. And sometimes it comes quickly. And when it bubbles up and you're trying to write it down and give it to the leadership and they're trying to review it, it takes away the spontaneity. Sometimes it's the right time to release a right word, either corporately or individually. So sometimes it's a matter of control. Number two, the reason why people or churches quench the Spirit is simply because of fear. They're really afraid of manifestations of the Holy Spirit. They may be afraid of the gifts, afraid of prophecy. Sometimes people, they're afraid of because they don't know much about it. They think it's spooky. They think it's weird. And so we're going to play it safe. We're just going to have some nice singing and a nice sermon and a nice benediction and let you go home. We're not going to step out and do anything unorthodox, anything that might cause trouble or stir the waters. And so people sometimes are really afraid of spiritual gifts. We know people are afraid of deliverance and demons, but sometimes people are afraid of the prophetic. They don't know what's going to be said. They're afraid maybe God's going to say something harsh, or maybe the person's going to say something harsh, or maybe judgmental. And sometimes people are really afraid to hear the voice of God. And so we have to be careful that we don't walk in fear. We should always walk in faith and believe that God has a word for us and God will speak to us. The third reason is because often churches have an order of service. And again, the prophetic can disrupt an order of service. Now, we're not against order. I'm not against order. Every church probably has a certain culture when they usually have praise and worship, then an offering, then the word of God, and then an altar call. That's primarily how most Sunday services are conducted. But what if God wants to interrupt your order of service and do something special or something different in a church? What if he wants the Spirit of healing or revival or evangelism or deliverance to go forward? What if he wants preaching to go forward first or maybe preaching last? You know, what if God disrupts our order of service? We're very good at having an order of service, having it print out in the bulletin. And the Scripture does say let everything be done decently and in order. So there's nothing wrong with having an order of service. But sometimes when the prophetic begins to flow and the Spirit of prophecy comes in a service, usually at the height of worship, when the glory of God comes in and the Spirit of prophecy comes in, it'll disrupt the service. Not in a bad way, but in a good way, because people will get blessed, healed, edified, exhorted, comforted. So it's really a good thing. But sometimes we're so locked in to an order of service. It may be a time restraint. You know, we have an hour and a half. Maybe there's multiple services. Sometimes churches have multiple services. They have to get in and get out. Well, that really hinders people from having extended services and really spending time in God's presence and really allowing praise, worship, and the glory of God to come in and allowing God to speak to us. So sometimes prophecy would be a disruption of the order of service. And to really be frank, sometimes if the Holy Ghost is not on the order of service, the Holy Ghost can show up and say, I have a word, and they'll look for his name and say, well, I'm sorry, Holy Ghost, you're not here. We have Deacon Smith, we have Deacon Jones, we have A&B Selection, we have Pastor Ralph speaking. I mean, that's our order of service, and we don't deviate from the order of service. The next reason why people quench the Spirit of God is because some people have a fear of emotionalism. They don't want things to get emotional. It's amazing to me how people can get emotional in football games, baseball games. They can get emotional at public events. But when it comes to the church, somehow we feel that, you know, we don't want too much emotionalism. We don't want people to get emotional. We don't want weeping and crying and shouting at the word of the Lord, because sometimes people look at the prophetic as something that stirs up people's emotions, because when you begin to prophesy, people will get so blessed. They may weep. They may cry. They may shout. They may dance. They may laugh with joy, because it affects them in the emotions. It's such a powerful word that brings edification, exhortation, and comfort. But sometimes churches don't want any kind of emotion. They're very stoic in their approach to worshiping God. They don't want any manifestations of the Spirit of God, because that tends to, as they say, that's charismatic or Pentecostal, and we're not like that. We're not charismatic. We're not Pentecostal. Those are those emotional people that shout, dance, fall out, and we don't want to bring that into our assembly. And so as a result, you're probably not going to have very many manifestations of the Holy Spirit in those kinds of churches, and they will end up quenching the Spirit. And then the fifth reason why people would quench the Spirit, and we're using it in connection with prophecy in this context, is fear of error. They're afraid that something is going to be said that's not scriptural, it's erroneous. We have to make sure everything is done according to Scripture. Now, when you begin to prophesy, you have to judge prophecy. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. So when people prophesy, we're responsible to prove it, whether it's not God or not. If it doesn't agree with your spirit, sometimes you know it by the Spirit of God. If it's contrary to the Word of God, of course, we don't receive it. And so we've had people prophesy things that, you know, I knew was not accurate, or it wasn't necessarily a false prophecy, it was just a bad prophecy. It's like you have bad singing or bad preaching, you have bad prophetics as well. It wasn't delivered correctly. Well, you couldn't understand it. It was confusing. It didn't make sense. But I didn't shut down the whole prophetic because one person, you know, may have gotten up and said something like that. I encouraged them, loved them, corrected them, told them you may need to correct something. But we kept the prophetic flow going. But some people are so dogmatic and so legalistic when it comes to prophecy, until if someone makes a mistake, it's almost like we feel we have to stone them. It's like they're a false prophet, we have to stone them. So we don't want anything erroneous preached, even though preachers have stood up and preached things that were in error and maybe later came back and corrected them. I've heard many messages that were error, in error, things weren't accurate according to Scripture, but I don't stop preaching because of error. But when it comes to prophecy, people really get very technical and very legalistic concerning this, and as a result, it's amazing how people will quench the Spirit. They think we'd rather not have this than to deal with any problems or issues that may come up when it comes to the prophetic. But God specifically tells us, quench not the Spirit. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. And so we're responsible. Let me give you some verses that are in line, or other translations of this verse, quench not the Spirit, or also despise not prophesying. This 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and 20. The Amplified Version, I love this version. It says, do not spurn do not spurn the gifts and utterances of the prophets. Do not depreciate prophetic revelations, nor despise inspired instruction or exhortation or warning. Now again, these verses are not in the Bible just to take up paper. They're in the Bible because people can do this, and they have a tendency, and we're going to give the reasons why people end up despising prophecy. People can despise the prophetic, spurn it, speak lightly of it, say it's not important, dishonor it, don't esteem it. And again, our attitude toward the prophetic will determine really how much we walk in it. I have a very high opinion of prophecy and the prophetic. I love prophecy. I honor it. I honor prophets. I love it. I honor it highly. I would never despise it because I have a very high regard. I covet it. I desire it. That's my attitude. I believe it's something holy. It's something important. It's something of the Spirit of God. And therefore, I would never despise, speak lightly of it, put it down, mock it, laugh at it, dishonor it in any way, because I know if I do that, not only will I quench the Holy Spirit, I will end up grieving the Holy Spirit. And if you ever do that, then the Spirit of God will withdraw himself and you'll lose the anointing of the Spirit upon your life. Another translation says this: do not treat prophecies with contempt. Or another one says, do not treat prophecy as if it were unimportant. I've heard people actually say this: prophecy is not important. We have the Word of God now. We have the written Word. We don't need prophecy. You know, we have the Logos. We believe in the Word. We preach the Word. We confess the Word. All we need is the Word. Well, prophecy is in the Word, and prophecy is a part of the Word of God. And so you cannot treat prophecy as if it's unimportant. It is important. It's important because it's one of the ways that God speaks to us. And if you say prophecy is not important, and you say the voice of God is not important, then what you're saying is that his word is not important. It is the word of the Lord. We have the written word of God. We also have the prophetic word of God. They're both the word of the Lord. Now, we always base everything we do on the written word. And I preach the word more than I prophesy. I believe in the value of the word of God. But we're not to treat prophecy as if it's unimportant, to neglect it, to despise it. If it's important, it means you should teach on it, you should honor it, you should give place for it, you should allow it. If it's really important in our assemblies, if the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit, and especially prophecy being a gift that edifies, exhorts, and comforts, is important, it will reflect our attitude toward it. Do we teach on it? Do we encourage it? Do we honor it? Do we covet it? Do we desire it? Many pastors don't. And many leaders don't, and many churches don't. Some denominations don't. Now, some denominations, of course, do not believe that the Holy Spirit and his gifts are for today. They're cessationists. So I understand that. That's their theology. But we're talking about Pentecostal, Spirit-filled people who are supposed to believe in the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Voice translation says this: don't downplay prophecies. Don't put them down. Don't say, well, it's not really that important, whether you have it or you don't. It is important. It's an important gift. Of all the gifts, Paul said, desire this gift, because it's the gift that we have that causes edification, exhortation, and comfort. Another translation, the Living Bible, says, do not scoff or make fun of those who prophesy. The one, the Darby, says, do not lightly esteem prophecies. Another translation says, do not brush off spirit-inspired utterances. Don't just brush them off. Or spirit-inspired messages. Don't just brush them off. You know, that's important. Or, you know, don't stand in service chewing gum and drinking a Coke while the prophetic word is coming forth. I mean, honor it. Receive it. It's the word of God. It can save your life. It can change your life. It can transform your life. It can bless your life. I mean, it's so powerful that we should treat it with respect, dignity, and honor. The English word despise was translated from the Greek word exothenio. That's E-X-O-U-T-H-E-N-E-O, exothenio, which means to make utterly nothing of or despise. The word not only depicts contempt or hatred, but it can mean as little as to ignore. So when it says despise not prophecies, it's also saying don't ignore it, don't hate it, don't make it as if it's nothing, don't treat it as if it's important or not important. It was translated set at naught three times in the New Testament: Luke 23:11, Acts 4:11, and Romans 14:10. So it can mean to set at naught, to set aside, not important. We don't need that. Laugh at, mock. It's not. You know, those prophetic people are crazy. It doesn't take all that. Have you heard that before? So I've heard leaders say that. We don't need that prophetic. It doesn't take all that. We don't believe in all that prophesying. We just preach the word. We just confess the word. We don't get into all that prophecy and prophets, and because that's not important. What's important is that you read scripture. Now, reading scripture is important. Studying is important. Everything has its place, but we're also told to despise not prophesying. Paul's admonition is to not to hate, dislike, or ignore prophecy. Now, there are reasons why people would end up despising prophecy. One of the major reasons is they've had a bad experience with it. People who've heard bad prophecy, maybe prophecy was used to control your life. Maybe some false prophet prophesied to you. Maybe you were hurt by the use of prophecy. And that's possible. I've known many people that have had a very bad experience with the prophetic. And as a result, they shut themselves off. They say, I don't want that. I don't want to go to a church that prophesied because I was in a church that flowed in the prophetic and they got off. But that can happen because people can get off. It's not because of prophecy. It's because of their character, their teaching. It could be another reason why they went off. They can become cult-like, controlling, abusive. And so people, I've heard people say, I don't want to have anything to do with the prophetic because I've had a bad experience with prophecy. Well, God wants you to be blessed by the true and the original. He wants you to, your life to be changed. But you can end up despising and saying, I don't need that. I don't want that. Now, I've had bad prophecy spoken to me in the past. I've been in the prophetic now for 25 years. And in those 25 years, I received thousands of prophecies. I've prophesied over thousands of people in over 80 nations all over the world. And I've seen good. I've seen the bad. I've seen the ugly. I've had people prophesy things to me that were off, goofy, spooky. I just bless them and go head on. I don't let it upset me. I don't get confused by it. I knew it wasn't God. But then I've had prophecy spoken to me that literally changed my life and took me to another level. And I'm walking in those prophetic declarations to this day. So just because you've had a bad experience with the prophetic, don't despise it. Don't say, well, it's not good. I don't want it. You can have a bad experience with preaching. You can have a bad experience with teaching. You can have a bad experience with deliverance. You can have a bad experience with almost any area of the church, but you don't close off what is in the Word of God. Prophecy in the New Testament is one of the most vital, important gifts given by the Holy Spirit. If you read 1 Corinthians 14, it tells us, walk in love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Of all the gifts, desire rather to prophesy. The second reason why people end up despising prophecy is because they feel since prophecy is not on the level of the written word, therefore, I don't really need it. You know, I believe in the written word. I believe in the logos. I'm a word man. I go to a word church. Now, I believe in the word of God. The word of God is a more sure word of prophecy. But you cannot say we don't need prophecy because we have the written word. There's some things the written word does not tell you. It gives you principles. It gives you guidelines. But it does not give you the details of your life. It does not speak to the details of your future. Prophecy can do that. So never, ever think. And again, we never receive prophecy that is contrary to the written word. But we never should say, well, I don't need prophecy because I've got the word. I remember years ago, I overheard a conversation. I was in a restaurant eating, and there was a table next to me from people from a church. And I heard the person actually say, you know, somebody tried to give me a word. I don't need any word. If I need a word from God, I'll go. I got the Bible, and I've gotten the written word. You know, I wanted to correct them. I didn't feel the liberty to go over and correct them and say, listen, don't ever despise prophesying. Don't ever think that you have it so good, well, together until you don't need God to speak through your life, into your life through other people. That is the epitome of pride. That is not humility. If God has a word for you, let it flow through someone else. Would it be blessed by other men? Would it be blessed by prophets and prophetic people? But her attitude was, if I need a word, I'll go get one from God. Or if I need a word, I'll go to the Bible. I don't need anyone prophesying to me. So what you're basically saying is, no matter what gifts people have, you shut those off because you don't need them. We need each other. We need the gifts of the Spirit in our assembly. We need to minister one to another. So sometimes people look at prophecy as something very low because it's the word of the Lord, but it's not on the par with the written word, and they end up despising it. The third reason is because some people simply believe that prophecy is not for today. That's a matter of unbelief. Don't believe the gifts of the Spirit are for today. They believe it all ceased in the first century. They're what we call cessationists. They don't believe in tongues. They don't believe in the miracles anymore. They don't believe that God speaks to people anymore. So when you have a spirit of unbelief, it's going to be very difficult. You're going to despise prophecy because you don't believe it's of God. You may say it's not of God. Those people are crazy. They're fanatical. They're off. They're in error. They're charismatic. They're Pentecostals. And our denomination does not believe in that. And so you end up despising one of the most important gifts that God has given us, which is prophecy. That the fourth reason is simply pride. People say, I don't need prophecy. I don't need anyone prophesying to me. I don't need to hear, if I need to hear God to speak to me directly, or I'll go to my scriptures, and I'm not going to let anyone prophesy to me because I don't need you to prophesy to me. That can be a spirit of pride. We do need prophetic utterances. We do need to be edified, exhorted, and comforted. As humility is a fact that I recognize I need the Spirit of God in my life. I need to receive the voice and hear the voice of the Lord. And if it comes through other people, then I'm ready to receive that. I'm humble enough to know that I don't have everything. I don't have all the answers. I know in part, I prophesy in part. I know that other people are anointed by God to speak into my life. And so sometimes it's an issue of pride. And so we end up despising prophesying. The next reason, number five, is fear. Some people, as I said before, are afraid of prophecy. They're afraid of any manifestation of the Spirit of God because it's an unknown area. And so they're afraid of it. They don't want to them, it's something, it's too deep. I don't want to get involved in all that deep stuff, all that prophesying, and thus saith the Lord, I'm afraid of it. I don't know whether it's right or whether it's wrong, so I just leave it alone. It's not my area. Well, God wants you to operate in this. That's why you need to learn and be taught on it and be educated in it, because the sixth reason why people often despise prophesying is because of ignorance. They've never been taught on the subject. They don't have any understanding or revelation of the Holy Spirit, His gifts, prophecy, and they just don't know. There are churches that just know nothing about the Holy Spirit, His gifts, or prophecy. They've never been taught, and it's the responsibility of leaders and pastors to teach people concerning the gifts. Paul spent a whole chapter, really three chapters, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, talking about the prophets and the prophetic and the gifts and how we should operate, how we should desire and covet, how we should do it, the order and the importance of love. He spent three chapters in that letter because there was confusion in the Corinthian church concerning these gifts. And so Paul, as an apostle, set things in order, but he spent time teaching them. And thank God we still have those letters today. We can see and get some prophetic protocol so that we're not ignorant. As a matter of fact, the scripture actually says, I would that you not be ignorant of spiritual gifts, or do not be ignorant of the gifts of the Spirit, or spirituals. The literal Greek is do not be ignorant of spirituals. God does not want us ignorant, because often what you're ignorant of, you're afraid of, you're uncertain of, you're unsure of, and you'll end up despising it, even mocking it, laughing at it, saying it doesn't take all that. Them folk are crazy. I don't believe in all that God speaking to people today in modern day prophets. Even though it's in the Bible, and we read the Bible every Sunday, we preach from Bibles every Sunday, from Genesis to Revelation, it's full of prophets and prophecy. It's amazing how much ignorance there is on this particular subject. So we're not to, again, do not brush off spirit-filled messages or God-inspired messages. One verse, one translation said, do not ignore prophecies. The Darby said, do not lightly esteem prophecies. The Easy Read Version says, don't treat prophecy like something that is not important. And then the New Living Version says, do not laugh at those who speak for God. Don't mock them. Don't laugh at them. This is something very important. We need to always have a respectful, honoring attitude toward prophets and the prophetic ministry. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Now, if we hold back on the prophetic words God has given us, if God stirs you to prophesy and you're feeling a stirring, but you quench it, then you're guilty of stifling or quenching the utterances and the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And sometimes people do that. They feel an unction, they feel a stirring, but they quench it. They say, I'm not going to do it. I'm afraid. I don't want to release that. And if you keep doing that, then you're going to eventually quench the gift inside of you. When you allow the Spirit of God to flow through you, or when it's allowed in services. For instance, if you're having an anointed service and people, you have prophets or prophetic people in your church that get stirred up and want to release the word of the Lord, and the leader says, no, we're not having any of that, then you're quenching. You're forcing that person to quench what God has placed on the inside of them. That not only quenches the Holy Spirit, that grieves the Holy Spirit. And so if we hold back the prophetic word of the Lord and we are not obedient to bring it forth to the body, we are quenching the Spirit of God. We must not hold back the word of the Lord. We must allow him to flow through us as he wills and whenever he wills. Do not despise prophecies. Have you ever been in a church or ministry that does not allow people to prophesy? Well, I'm sure you have. I've been there. They will not have it. We're not. As soon as the anointing it begins to increase in the service and the Spirit of God begins to come in and the gifts of God begin to manifest, the leader gets up, cuts it off, gets the mic, sits everybody down and promptly receives an offering or does something or has announcements or something, because they don't want any type of manifestations to break forth. They don't want the service to get too high. Don't let it get out of control. You got to control that service. Now, I'm not saying people should get out of control. We let anything go on in the church service. There can be order while the Spirit of God is flowing. But again, have you ever been in a church or ministry that does not allow people to prophesy? They are quenching the Holy Ghost. It's simple as that. You're guilty of quenching the Spirit. They are not allowing the people of God to obey the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the manifestations are quenched when someone of higher authority or assuming a position of high authority forbids the usage, again, forbids the usage of manifestations. Pastors, bishops, leaders, whatever your name is, apostles, whoever you are, when you use your authority to stop the flow of the Spirit of God in the service, then you're quenching the Holy Spirit. And what will happen is the Spirit of God will get grieved, and that church will lose the anointing, and the gifts of the Spirit will not operate in that particular assembly. The next very sentence speaks to an example of how this is to be obeyed. Despise not prophesying, or despise is the word for make a mockery of prophecy, which is only one of nine manifestations. So again, this is one of the hindrances, the reason why we end up quenching the Holy Spirit. Not trusted that you're in a church or you're around people that allow the Spirit of God to flow. And there are many churches that do. Thank God. There are many Holy Spirit churches around the country and around the world that are encouraging the prophecy, encouraging the prophetic, allowing it to flow. And thank God for that. But then there are some where people feel a stirring and an unction, but their gift is almost killed. It is restrained. It is shut down. It is quenched. They're told you're crazy. It doesn't take all of that. And that really grieves the Spirit of God. And it really hurts people who have prophetic callings and prophetic giftings. You cannot have a prophetic calling and a prophetic gifting and be around people who dishonor, disrespect, quench, make a mockery of, or despise prophecy. Your gift will be shut down because that gift is not honored, is not appreciated, is not released, and that grieves the Spirit of God. And your gift will never flow there. It's as simple as that. And I get questions all the time of people that have seen this happen in their lives, and as a result, they are hurting, they're grieving, they don't know what to do. And so thank God that now God is raising up people that will operate in prophecy, and those who will move in the power of the Spirit of God. Now I'm going to answer some questions. I'm trying to bring them up, so I may need a little help to bring these questions up. We'll work on it. If you do have questions, you should be able to post them on our platform here, because people do love to ask questions, and I do my best to answer them. And so we'll try to get the questions up. If you're on our Google Hangout, you should be able to ask them. And then I want to pray and I want to prophesy over you tonight, as I always do at the end of our program. And I want you to see how that the prophetic, God does move, but we also have a responsibility. It's not all God. It's up to us to, number one, desire to prophesy. Number two, it's up to us to covet to prophesy. It's up to us to honor the prophetic and respect the prophetic and never ever allow it to become despised, become of little importance in our in our churches. It's up to us to teach on the prophetic. It's up to us to encourage people to prophesy, to encourage people with prophetic giftings, to allow that gift to move in the service. That's our responsibility. And if we do not do that, then we really will hinder the prophetic flow. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. But what your attitude, the way you view it, can also affect, because the Spirit of God can be quenched and the Spirit of God can be grieved. And as a result, sometimes people say, well, why isn't the anointing of prophecy strong in my city or strong in our church? Well, are they honoring this? Do they really respect it? Do they teach on it? Or do they make statements like, oh, that's not important, and laugh at it and say, all those people are over the board, we don't need all that. I'm one of my favorites, it doesn't take all that. All we do is teach the word, and we don't believe in all that. We believe in prophecy, but, you know, it's not as important as this or that. And by their very words, they're showing that they really don't have a respect and an honor for these gifts, especially for the gift of prophecy. So I want you to always honor and respect this gifting, because it is a very important gifting. It is one that will cause you to really be blessed. Not only will you be blessed by prophecy, but you will also find yourself walking in greater levels of the prophetic, and you'll find yourself also being able to bless many people through the prophetic word that comes out of your mouth. I always try to honor this gift. We teach on it. We respect it. We give way to it. When we sense the Spirit of God wanting to say something in our services, we make room for it. Even if it disrupts our order of service, we know it's very important to allow God to speak, because God wants to speak to his people, and God wants his people to hear his voice. And it's very important that we give place for that in our services and not stop it or quench it or hinder it. We must give place for the manifestation of the Spirit in our church services. If we don't, we just end up with routine services, and we'll really miss the glory realm and the miracle realm that prophecy releases. So I want to encourage pastors and leaders to teach on this, encourage it, stir it up, activate it in your church. Identify those with prophetic giftings, train them, teach them, allow them to come forth with the word of the Lord. Sometimes you can have a mic on the stand that's for that, or you can have mics in the congregation. Different churches do it different ways. In our Sunday service, we have a whole group of prophetic every Sunday. We have a group, and every Tuesday night, we have a group of prophetic people that are on the stage with me. And when the spirit of prophecy comes, we allow them to prophesy. When they get stirred up, I give them the mic, and I let them flow, because I don't want to quench the Spirit of God. When we feel the Spirit of prophecy coming in, we know God wants to say something, we give room for that. And when people hear the word of the Lord, they get healed, they get delivered, they get blessed. It is amazing, the power of prophecy. So as a leader, and again, the responsibility, I believe, is on the leader. Leaders, pastors, the head of the congregation must honor this gifting. If a leader does not honor it, and respect it, and promote it, and teach it, then it probably will not operate very strongly in the services. If the leader has a value of prophecy, esteems it lowly, makes fun of it, mocks it, say it doesn't take all of that, that's going to put that whole congregation at a disadvantage of not being able to receive and hear the word of the Lord. So it's important for pastors, and it's important for leaders. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all of those who are viewing this program, and I thank you for a new honor that's coming on prophets and prophetic people and the gift of prophecy. And I even speak now prophetically and say there is a new honor coming, for many leaders will begin to honor and begin to respect and begin to teach. And no longer will prophets and prophetic people be mocked, criticized, and dishonored, but there'll come a new honor upon prophets and prophetic people in this hour. For many will rediscover the value of prophecy, and many will desire to see my church edified, exhorted, and comforted, and built up through the supernatural manifestation of prophecy. And so there is coming a new honor. Just as men honor my written word, oh, men will honor my prophetic word. And just as men have honored the Bible and have preached and taught from my word and even put my word up high in the eyes of the people, so shall it be with my spoken word, that many will place a new honor upon my spoken word, and they'll begin to honor the prophetic. And those that honor me, and I sound of my voice, I will honor, says the Lord. And those who respect what I have to say, I will bless them, and I'll speak to them clearly. And they'll be the ones that will benefit from hearing my voice and hearing my word. But all those who dishonor and grieve me in this area, I will withdraw from them, for I'll not force myself upon them. But oh, as they despise and dishonor that which I release, they'll not benefit from the great blessing of the prophetic word. So be careful of your attitude toward this gifting, and do not allow those that have misused or those that have abused this gifting to cause you to dishonor it. But oh, honor it because it is a part of my word, and honor it because it is a part of my spirit, says the Lord. But yes, my Holy Spirit desires to bless you and desires to speak to you in this hour and desires to encourage you and desires to bring those who once were in shame to a place of honor. And no longer shall it be something despised and looked down upon and something lowly esteemed, but oh, it shall be something that's promoted in my house. For yes, it is the voice of the Spirit. It is the voice that I speak unto you. It is the gift of the Spirit. It is the gift of prophecy. It is the reason why I baptize men and women with the Holy Spirit, to open up the doorway into that prophetic realm and allow the rivers of living water to flow out of your belly. So even though some have felt ashamed and some have been despised and some have felt rejected, oh, there is a new honor even coming upon prophets. Many prophets and many prophetic people have been despised and rejected, but oh, my honor is returning to them, and I will promote them, and I will exalt them, and I will bless them in the days to come. So be encouraged, my people. And know it is a new day. It is a new season. I'm causing men and women to teach and to prophesy, and there's coming a new honor, a new glory, a new reverence for my spirit, says the Lord. So be encouraged and receive that which I release unto you in this hour. Father, I bless them, and I thank you for your word being spoken over their lives even now. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone says, how important is it to be under a house or to be in a house, a member of a church, and designed to have the gift to prophesy? Well, I believe that if you're in a church, you should be in a church. If you love prophecy and you're prophetic, you should be in a church that is prophetic, because that is where your gift is going to be developed. And your gift is going to be stirred, and your anointing is going to be stirred. I would never, ever attend a church that dishonors the prophetic, since I'm prophetic. I could not grow there. And I would say that there are many people today that are flowing and going to prophetic churches. God is raising up prophetic churches. But then there are people that, and again, the leadership of the house will really set a ceiling and a limit to how much the prophetic level is increasing in a house. If a leader does not believe in it, despises it, thinks it's not important, then there will not be a high level of the prophetic in that house. And so it's important that you sit under leaders that walk in faith and are people of faith and that believe in whether it's deliverance, the prophetic, the apostolic healing, miracles, worship. You know, the faith of the leader releases faith in the congregation and causes the congregation to begin to move in the things of God. So thank you so much for that question. Those of you, again, who are tuning in for the first time, I do want to encourage you to write and get a copy of this book called God Still Speaks. It is my book on the prophetic ministry, and it has a lot on personal prophecy, corporate prophecy, design to prophesy, different realms of the prophetic, and I believe that you'll be blessed. I know this is part 10 of the teaching, and many in the last 10 weeks have been writing for this book. Simply go to my website entitled, the address is johneckhartministries.com, and you can order God Still Speaks, because God does still speak today. He still has a voice. He still speaks to us. We can still be blessed by the prophetic word. And again, if you've not seen the first 9 parts of the prophetic school, this is part 10. If you're not seen, you have a lot of catching up to do. But the good news is you can go to my website, johneckhartministries.com, or go to crusaderschurch.org, and you can view the previous teachings. Now, also, if you want to sow into the Crusaders Church, which I am the pastor and overseer of, we do a lot of ministry overseas. We do prophetic activations. We teach. We prophesy. We go to a lot of nations. And if you want to sow a seed into our ministry, you can also go to crusaderschurch.org, and you can just press the donate button, and you can sow a financial seed. I encourage you to do so, because that will help us to minister to so many people and continue to go throughout the world and throughout the earth and be a blessing wherever we go. So take advantage of those resources. Let me do one more question. I'm sorry I don't have time to do too many, but this one says, as far as creating order to allow the prophetic to flow, what protocol is good to abide by, open up prophecy, but still keep order? Well, it's very simple. If you have people in your church that you recognize are prophetic, just simply at the time, you ask people, those who have prophetic word, they can be designated people, or you can simply set up mics in a congregation. Different churches do it different ways. Or you can just encourage people to come to the platform who feel they have a prophetic word. Now, I know it opens the whole congregation up, but that's the way we do it. Or you can allow, when the spirit of prophecy comes in, there seems to be a hush in the congregation. Sometimes people will begin to prophesy. If it's a small church, they don't necessarily need a mic. They can just do it from the congregation, and you just allow two or three people to do it. Don't let it get out of hand. And it usually flows. We must trust the Holy Spirit to conduct our services. If you're not careful, you'll try to put your hand on everything and make sure it's done right, no mistakes. But sometimes the Spirit of God just moves and there is order. People begin to prophesy. One will speak a word. Another will come forth and speak a word. Or you can have them come on the thing. The thing is, it's good to teach people not to go too long. If they have a word, release the word. When the anointing lifts, let it go. Don't try to prophesy everything and take up 20 minutes prophesying. You'll kill the anointing. So just let them give the word of the Lord. It may be a minute. It may be a minute and a half. Usually that's where a strong prophecy will last. Some more people may have longer prophecy, but generally it's not that long. So that's the way the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14, let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. If something's revealed to another, let the first hold his peace. That's when prophets are ministering. So it's good for prophets to work together. And when one senses someone else has something, they release the mic to them, let them flow. When someone senses someone else has something, when teams are moving, let them flow. Don't try to take up all the prophetic. Don't be a prophetic hog. Those are some of the guidelines we use when we start talking about prophecy. Thank you so much. What if you're in a church that says they are prophetic but are not fulfilled in their eschatology teachings, and there was a real heavy flow of the prophetic? Well, the only danger would be if a church the churches would tend sometimes to prophesy based on the eschatology. So sometimes churches will have a lot of, if they're very strong in the teaching on the coming of the Lord is soon, the Lord is coming any day, then chances are that can kind of flow into the prophetic, and you'll get prophecies about, repent, for the Lord is coming soon, any day now. And so that can hinder it. And I believe that's incorrect eschatology. But when eschatology is correct, you generally have prophecies that speak more of generations. The Lord is moving in next generation. Generations to come are going to hear my voice or whatever. So a lot of your prophetic is determined by your teaching. They work together. When you know the word and you're taught the word correctly, you'll prophesy more accurately. But you can have a prophetic flow. I know churches that don't believe in fulfilled eschatology the way I do, and yet they're very prophetic. As a matter of fact, one of the people that trained me in the prophetic is at odds with me when it comes to eschatology. He just thinks I am off. And I love him, and I thank God for him. I respect him as a prophet. I learn a lot from him, and I think he's wrong in his eschatology. But they're still a very prophetic church. And many of the prophecies, if they don't get into eschatology, can still be for edification, exhortation, and comfort. So it really should not be that major of a problem. But it can be a problem if the prophecies are too heavy into last days, end times, and the coming of the Lord being soon. Well, again, I bless you. And I thank you for tuning in to part 10 of Prophetic School, entitled Despise Not Prophesying. I'll come back. I'll post when I will minister again. Usually we do it on Monday evenings unless I'm either out of town preaching somewhere. So sometimes it will change. So I want you to stay tuned to my Facebook page. And if you're not one of my Facebook friends, just go to Apostle John Eckhart and either become a follower or go to the other page, my ministry page, and push the like button, and you can follow me or follow my ministry page, and then keep up with our particular prophetic school as we announce the time and the date. And so, Father, I thank you for everyone that is tuning in. Shalom. I speak grace, favor, blessing, peace, and prosperity over you. I pray your prophetic unction will continue to increase and your knowledge of the prophetic will grow and grow and grow as we move forward into the next year and into years to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.